Well, we're so honored to be here with you guys again tonight. Y'all look like a good, hungry bunch. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you got your Bibles tonight, how many of y'all read this book years ago? 1987, I believe it was, The Visitation. Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits. In this, in taking steps, it's always good, first and foremost, get God's plan. And how many know your pastors have got God's plan? And then when you get God's plan, then how many know he has the ability to direct your steps that the book of Psalms talks about? And in Psalms, it'll talk about that once he's able to start directing your steps, then he's able to enlarge your steps. That's what we're all after, right? The enlargement of our steps, because we're going to have the plan of God. But tonight, I want to just go over a few things first, and then We'll see where we end up, and we're just going to thank the Holy Ghost for helping us. But if you got your Bibles, I'd like for you to open them, please, to Luke chapter 21. And we're going to take off a little bit. I really don't remember what all we said Sunday. I don't know. The message I had wrote down, we didn't preach none of it. There's nothing on there I wrote down. So I don't remember all of it. I remember parts of it. But how many know we trust the Holy Ghost? Amen. And so hopefully some of this will tie in with whatever that was. Amen. Really, I don't remember a lot of it. But in that, we're grateful and we're thankful. Now, tonight, we're going to do, about 2 years ago, Colossians 4, the Lord told me and directed me, he said, you know, you've talked about utterance in the Holy Ghost. You talk about utterance to preach and different things. But he said, isn't it interesting what God said about Paul in Colossians 4? And he said, it would really behoove you to really dig around that and look it up. And where it talks about a door of utterance was given. And in that, what we've begun to see is, every time we get in a pulpit, it's so far beyond what we know or who we are. And in that, how many of you know, that's what the Holy Ghost wants to do for us. For all of us. Amen. So, Father, tonight we acknowledge the third person of the Trinity. We know he came into us when we were born again. And then many of us, after that, the experience of being filled with the Spirit and evidence, speaking in tongues. Then we were taught about being led by him, the inward witness. And then we were taught about him other things, the strength, the advocate, all of the things that he is as a paraclete. But tonight, sir, I call upon you as the teacher, the revealer of truth. Unfold. Pull the cover back off of the scriptures. We're grateful for everything that you've shown us. We value it and we treasure it. But therefore, as we value and treasure every nugget, everything you have revealed, we set ourselves in a place to be able to see more. And we thank you for it. We give you the glory and the honor for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And all that agreed said amen, please. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles there, Luke chapter 21, Pastor Dan got the theme, steps. Steps of faith. In book of Romans, Romans chapter 4, talks about Father Abraham, and look at the steps of faith. We know that we just made mention of in the book of Psalms, it talks about that God will direct your steps. And then he will enlarge your steps and different things along that line. But one of the things that in the stepping, there is possessing. And in that possessing, we know that we as believers, we're not thing-minded. We're kingdom-minded. But a lot of times about being kingdom-minded, you know, the Lord might want you to like you're doing, remodel this building. Well, how many of you know it takes money? And you can't call the electric company and say, you know, we're going to put in another, is it 800 breaker, you know, service, 800 service. And they're like, really? And you're a church? I tell you what, we'll just tie all that in for free. No, they'll be like, how are you going to pay for this? Exactly. And then you go to the lumberyard and buy it and stuff like that. So in that, being mindful of it, of things, we're not after things, but we're still after the kingdom of God. And after we go after the kingdom of God, things do need to be added.
Yes.
But one of the very first things in our possessing, we need to possess our soul.
Yes.
Because I don't know how far we'll be able to go, but have you ever heard mind's eye? Brother Hagin would teach us, and he'd say, he saw himself dead. Remember that? The devil was giving him an image. He saw himself in the graveyard. He saw the leaves on the trees change and blow across the grave and all of that stuff. And he said, then God began to show him. Remember, the Spirit of God said, do you believe you're well? Yeah, I do. He said, well, people ought to be up this time of day. Remember that? And he said he had to begin to see himself well. Now, that's seeing yourself by faith. But there's a statement that's called the mind's eye. That has to do with your soul, and you've got to possess it. A lot of times God will direct you to go someplace. It maybe not even be in the market for a new house, but go walk around in one. Amen. What it is, you're beginning to get a vision for some stuff. Because yes, see, faith can't give substance to no hope.
Right. Amen.
Hebrews 11 says so. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope is an earnest expectation according to Philippians 1:21. And hope is what will build an image on the inside of you. It'll present the blueprints and then faith will manifest it. Okay? Now, Luke chapter 21 verse 19. He said, in your what? Patience do what?
Possess
what? Your soul. Well, you remember in Hebrews it talks about, it says that after you've done the will of God, you have need of
patience.
Thank you. Which is endurance and steadfastness. The Bible talks about in Hebrews 6, there has to be an anchor for your soul. There has to be. Now, in the possessing of our soul, these are scriptures you know. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians 5. And we're going to get into steps of faith, as far as I know. 1 Thessalonians 5, please. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, a very familiar scripture, look at about verse 23. Paul writing here, and he said, the very God of peace, I pray you holy. I pray God your whole what?
Spirit.
What's the word before spirit? Whole. So he said, I pray God you're what?
Whole
spirit. That's in every bit of it. What else? Whole soul. What else? Whole body. Be what? Be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. How many know we ought to be preserved, not pickled? Right? And that word preserved means to keep in good condition, to keep safe from harm or loss. Sometimes people that don't know no better, they only focus physically. Then others will only focus spiritually. And the soul is hanging. But we are told by the Spirit of God to preserve, to keep blameless, to keep it from harm. And in keeping it from harm, sometimes people think their mind is their brain. But you know the story, Luke 16, the rich man and Lazarus, both of them died. It says the rich man was buried, and in hell, the rich man lifted up his eyes and asked Abraham to do certain things, and then after he couldn't get that done, he said, well, will you at least send somebody back from the dead to go to my father's house? I've got five brethren. But the man's body, with his brain in it, is back on planet Earth in the grave. So your mind ain't your brain. People say a lot of times, well, they're losing their mind. No, there might be trouble with the brain, but that's an organ as surely as the heart is. That can be fixed. That can be healed. But the soul has to be renewed with the Word of God. And out of the soul is where you will get your mind eye, where you can go after bigger things.
Amen.
But the first thing you got to possess is your soul.
Right.
Years ago, for us, my wife and I, it was almost 20 years ago, it was the first we heard of it from Sister Gloria, but she started teaching. She said, "You will," out of 3 John 2, she said, you'll never go beyond the prosperity of your soul. According to 3 John 2. So, we're going to preserve our soul, right? Three of us are. We're going to preserve our soul.
Amen.
Right? Now, if you would, go to 1 Corinthians 10. Okay? 1 Corinthians 10, 29 in the Message. It says, but except for these special occasions, cases, I'm not going to do what? Worrying. But I'm going to stride free and easy, knowing what our large-minded master has already said. You need to run with somebody that'll stretch you. I'm preaching better than y'all are amening me. You need to run around with somebody. And when people, if you get mindful of always offending somebody, you're walking around on eggshells. How are you going to enjoy your salvation?
Yes.
And how are you going to get to where God needs you to get to?
Yes.
We believe in the ministerial alliance. We just don't belong. Because every time we all got together, they said, we would really like you to keep it here. How many of you know we need to do, now if you're in another church and the pastor says so, how many know you need to, he's the highest office in that local church.
Yeah.
But when people want to crush,
right,
or crunch,
yeah,
or restrict,
right,
the Holy Ghost, either in your thinking or in your life, how many know you got to learn to quit walking around on eggshells and run with a large-minded God, glory to God, and you've got to stride free and easy.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm afraid I'm going to offend them if I come in my mink. Well, offend them.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
We have friends who get offended because we're never sick. And they call us. They said, you guys are arrogant. Because you always say, you're never getting sick. But see, how many know, if you like, well, I know sometimes we'll get sick, so that you don't offend them, you just shrunk.
Yes.
Amen.
We got to stretch.
Amen.
We're after some stuff here.
Yes.
Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, you might as well go ahead and say amen. I think this is best. The message is going to get. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, now. Now, let's read this again. You want to? Let's read it together. You want to? Yeah. I'm not going to walk around on eggshells,
yeah,
worrying about what small-minded people might say. Say small-minded.
Small-minded.
What small-minded? I got a lot of good answers over here. One said people, other said ignorant. Amen. But small-mindedness can't be the same as God because he's large-minded.
That's right.
That's good.
Right.
That is so good.
Have you ever thought about in 1 Corinthians 2, what is it? 1 Corinthians 2, 14, 15 talks about since we're born again, we're spiritually alive, we can discern and know these things. And somewhere around verse 15, I believe it is, something like that, it says, therefore we have the ability to have what?
Go ahead.
the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. Since you got saved, then you start renewing your mind with the Word. You can have the mind of God, the mind of Christ, and run with a large-minded God.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
If sickness has attacked you, don't run with small-minded people. Run with somebody that knows the mind of God based on the Word of God.
Yes.
How many of you know? Run with somebody say, I know the doctor said this, but I'm telling you, we got a better report. It says Jesus took it, and if he took it, you don't have to carry it. These are steps. So, what's it like walking around on eggshells? Pardon?
Crunchy.
Crunchy? I reckon it would be. Amen. But what else?
Stressful.
Pardon?
Stressful.
Stressful.
Yes. Stressful.
Very stressful. But you're not striding. Free and easy. Because you're more mindful of small-minded folk. Look at somebody and say, I'm going to possess my soul. All right, now, let's go Mark 11, please. Mark 11. Look at about verse 22. Mark 11, 22. Glory to God. Have you ever had pastor say something that you didn't like? Yeah. Of course, hands went up everywhere, but nobody's raising them. Amen. And what that happens is, you see what had happened was, is... what happens is he's hung out with God, been with God. God says, since you are my mouthpiece, I want you to tell my people this today. And it's large. And then all of a sudden he says it and you're like, my dear God, what's he think we are? Millionaires? Should. Should. We heard the prophecy. Should. Well, what do you think we are? Always well? Should. Yes. Yeah. Does he always think we always come in with a smile on our face and everything's hunky-dory? Should. Nobody should ever know you're going through something by the face. Because then you're sympathetic and you're looking for somebody to petty you. Petty, is that a good word? Pity, thank you. Pity you. Amen. Look at somebody and say, I sure am glad I ain't sitting by a whiner. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now in this, what we're going to show you tonight is how, okay, we'll just show you. All right, now, go over. Go over to, we ain't read Mark, but we'll come back. Go to Luke. Luke 16, please. Here we go again. Hallelujah. I'm looking for where, Luke 6, that's where it's, thank you, Holy Ghost. Luke 6, thank you. As you can tell, this ain't in our notes again, but thank God, amen. Luke 6:39. Jesus here, Luke records the first part, then he writes down what Jesus said. He spake a parable unto them. So now here goes Jesus. Question, can the blind lead the blind? Look, somebody say yes. Yeah. Tell somebody, say yes. Yeah. Or else how will they both fall in the ditch if you can't? Can the blind lead the blind?
Yes.
Got to. Got to be able to. Or they wouldn't both fall in the ditch. Then, so who's talking here?
Jesus is.
Then he says, the pupil is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Verse 41. Why beholdest thou the mote or splinter that's in thy brother's eye, but you can't see the 2x12 that's hanging outside of your head? It says beam, right?
Yes.
Beam. There's, that's duck work, but you know, there's a beam up there. I know them are just kind of sitting on something, but if there was a beam up there, what would its purpose be? It supports the roof. If you've ever done construction, there'll be bridge beams. There'll be other pilings and some stuff. Well, that bridge beam, it would be kind of like that underneath that bridge. You just drive across the surface, but underneath there's something calculated that if there's 4, 5, 6, 8, however big the bridge is, trucks on it one time, it's still going to be safe. It is to support that. Everything he talks about here is what supports the way you see stuff. And in your mind's eye, if you struggle with extravagance, If you struggle with more than enough, if you struggle with walking in divine healing, there is something there that supports the reason you see it. Everything has to do with eyesight. There's sight of faith, but there's the mind eye. So he said, what about the beam that's in thy eye? So if you would ask somebody, what supports the thing I see? Well, I mean, no, we need to be a support system, needs to be the word. Is that correct?
Yes.
Now, in seeing things in our mind's eye, faith will get it, but hope has to draw it.
Yes.
Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What if you have no hope? There's nothing for your faith to give substance to. Hope is not designed to manifest. It is designed to draw. Now, in the steps, when you begin to see, okay, Lord, you told us to do this. So what we're doing, we're building an image on the inside of us. I thank you, Lord God, we're going to do this. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. Then you move into faith. And then how many of you know, every step you take, whether it's small. You remember that crazy movie, What About Bob? Who was it, Bill Murray or something? Or some, his crazy movie. But he had that book, Baby Steps. He's scared of everything. It's a crazy movie. I wouldn't recommend watching it, but it's funny. But he would do these baby steps. Everybody say baby steps.
Baby steps.
See, you're not expected to stride if you're just starting.
Right.
But I mean, no, everybody can take a step.
Yes. Yes.
And that's what Pastor's been talking about. If he was to tell the entire amount of the entire job, it might mess with some folk. But how many know, if we just need 10,000 compared to a million, how many know we can do the 10 right now?
Yes.
Tonight, are you with me? Amen. And so everybody can help with this, but what has to begin to happen is you got to join in with the image God put into him. This is called vision.
Yes.
And then hook your faith up with it, and then you're not expected to walk where he's walking, but everybody that'll take a step of faith, we can get this thing done.
Amen.
Yes.
Okay, now, Go over, please, to Job. Job 121, amplify, please. Job 121. And look here. Job says in the amplified, and he said what?
Naked,
but what's naked? Naked doesn't mean naked. There, it tells you. If you look it up, what's it mean? Came I into this world from my mother's womb and what? And without possession shall I depart. This is wrong. People at the funeral, at the graveside, they'll say it. They're talking about clothes. He was it. He said without possessions. Look, the Bible says that we ought to get to a point that we leave an inheritance, not just our kids, our grandkids. My wife and I have got 28 of them now. 18 grandkids, but then some kids. And all together, I think it's somewhere around, it's quite a few, ain't it? 26.
Got you a herd.
26. We're after 26 million to leave.
Amen.
That's what we've got in our heart to do, to be scriptural. Rich is getting it. Wealth is old money. Job said, I come into the earth without possessions. So he must have been born to some people that didn't believe in prosperity. Then he said, I came in as far from my mother's womb, and without possessions shall I depart. Well, if you all, so many of us was around, you know, in services with Brother Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin Sr., isn't it interesting that he made a statement in 2 Peter 1:11? If y'all pull that up, 2 Peter 1:11. We're going to come back just a minute. 2 Peter 1:11. He would tell us, Sister Billy would always tell us, he said, he wasn't worried about it, but it was always in the front of his thinking. And she'd say, Lord, I desire what? Remember, he'd say it. What? Thank you, Levi. He said, I desire an abundant entrance. But people think it's humble to leave here and not have nothing. And most people will tell you, you can't take nothing to heaven with you. But in Acts 10, Cornelius said by the angel to him that his prayers and his alms got up before, well, let's flip over, Acts 10, 1 through 4. You remember, he was a centurion. He's Italian, Mamma Mia, and all of that stuff. Remember, it says so. And then it says that he gave much alms to the poor. And then an angel appeared to him. And he said to Cornelius, he said, what is it, Lord? He said, thy prayers and thy what?
Alms
are what? His giving got up to God. God kept track. Did his giving get up to God?
Yes.
Did his prayers get up to God?
Yes.
How many of you, every time you pray, you're just thinking, boy, I hope I don't make it to heaven. No, we wouldn't even bother. I will, because he said. In Revelation 5:8, when I was in my pickup truck, I wasn't saved. I wasn't living for God. And I was passing a school bus. And I got hit. There was a car coming, keeping hurting the school bus was kids. I went to the shoulder, a car hit me, I flipped off, went down the embankment. My truck landed upside down, it ruptured the tank, it smashed the cab down. Devil was in the cab of the truck with me. And he told me, he said, I got you, and you're gonna burn alive in this thing, because gas was pouring, I couldn't get out. And so I'm in there, and all of a sudden, an angel come in the cab of that truck. And he said, Ricky, calm down. He said, you're trying to roll the window down. It's got to go up. You're upside down. And the devil in the cab of that truck started hollering, foul, foul, he don't live for God. You can't do this. And he said, yes, I can. Revelation 5:8 says there's a veil in heaven. There's a room in heaven where the vials of the prayers of the saint are kept. And he uncorked one. And there was things my mom was saying. And he said, I'm not moving without legality on planet Earth. I move within legal bounds. There was somebody that prayed for him. I'm moving on his behalf. Stuff gets to heaven. So Sister Billy would tell us Brother Hagin was quite concerned having an abundant entrance. You ever heard somebody say at a funeral, they're now gone. We've carried the physical body as far as we can. They're gone. Now they're what? Rewards follow them. Philippians talks about, Paul says that you have a heavenly account. And he said, I don't want your gift. I desire that fruit may abound to your account. What account? Most people don't even keep track of what they give. We know what we give over tithes. We got an account, just like you do in the bank. If you never pull out of it, if you're just shooting in the dark, you got a heavenly account. That's what the offerings are for. Right. So, can stuff get to heaven?
Yes.
All right, now, so Job makes this crazy statement. And well, I don't want to call it crazy, but it's all the light that he had. And he just says, naked, without possessions, I come into earth and I'm leaving the same way. You ought to desire to take something to heaven with you.
Amen.
Now, how many know? We're not talking about physical stuff. Are you with me?
Right.
But yet that offering got up there.
Right.
The prayers got up there.
Right.
There's a heavenly account up there with your name on it. Mm-hmm. Your words get up there. Because
yes.
He said, we're going to give an account of them. So I desire, after, you know, you listen to people that know more than you do. When you're around them, shut up and listen. And Brother Hagin told me, I desire an abundant entrance. I said, well, then, bless God, so do I. I didn't even know what he's talking about.
Right.
But I want one.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
So then Peter talks about it. So in that, Job said, I'm not going to take nothing with me to heaven. Look at somebody and say, but I am. Me too. Now, let's go back to Job 1. He makes this statement in verse 21, amplified. After that, without possession shall I depart. The who? The Lord gave and? Lord's taken away. Now, is that true? No. Hold that thought in your mind. Well, can you flip over to Mark 11, 22 real quick? And then we'll come back to this. The Lord gave and the Lord taken away. Now, we're going to show you some things real quickly. Jesus answering saith unto them, when Peter called and saw the fig tree had died that Jesus had talked to the day before. And Jesus makes this statement. What did he say? Have faith in God. Everybody say, have faith in God, please.
In God.
But in the margin of the Bible, there's two other statements. Have what? The God kind of faith and have the faith of God. Both of those statements are for living. Only that one is for coming into the family. To have faith in God, believe that Jesus is his son. He died, he rose from the grave on the third day. That will put you into the family. You can have faith in God. But after that, you and I are to adjust and begin to learn the just shall live by
faith.
By faith. That's having the God kind and having the faith of. And you can't have the God kind without the Word. Because the Word and God are the same. And that's how faith comes. Now, in that statement that Job's going to make, the Lord gave, the Lord taketh away. In that, many believers come into the family, they are saved. They think because they have faith in God that they're okay. They never develop the just shall live by faith. They wait for God to heal them because they have faith in God, don't know how to exercise faith to receive what already belongs to them. So Job makes the statement. He says, the Lord gave, the Lord had taken away. Then he says, blessed be the name of the Lord. And then, can you all pull up verse, we'll jump to 2 real quick. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, does God give? Does God take away? Now, quote me Romans 11, 29. Paul makes a statement right in the church at Rome. What's he say? For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance, which means irrevocable. Other translation says can't be took back, never changed. Correct? Would God take back? No. As far as we can tell, no. Can you all pull up Romans 29? For the gifts and callings of God are what? Without repentance. One translation, I think it's amplified, maybe the amplified. It's irrevocable, can't be changed, can't be took back. For God's gifts and his call are what? He'll never withdraw them when once they are given. Things can be lost. Things can be disdained and not counted valuable and be lost or set aside. But for what we can see, God don't take them. Right? He never withdraws them once they are given. Listen to this. And he don't change his mind about those to whom he gives his grace or to whom he sends his calls. Isn't that good? Now, you already know it. James 1:17. It says, every perfect gift, every good gift cometh down from the Father of lights with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In the Amplified, it'll even... Look at these statements. Every good gift, every perfect... Please tell me these next words.
Free, large,
full. Oh, no, not large. Every perfect, free, large, full gift is from above.
Amen.
So let's go back to Job 1:22, amplified, please. Job 1:22, amplified. And in Job 1:22, amplified, it says, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Did Job sin?
No.
But did what Job say, will it bear out New Testament revelation? But did Job sin?
No.
Okay, now, my wife and I have a very good friend. He's a pastor of First Baptist Church where we live. He's not there now. He did go to another one. But him and I were very good friends. And he told me personally, he said, I used to preach speaking in tongues is of the devil. Now, how many of y'all have ever walked in that experience?
Yep.
Can't see hands.
Yep.
Is it of the devil?
Nope.
No.
Where's it from?
God.
Now, can I see hands that have done it? Could you tell anybody now that speaking in tongues is of the devil?
Nope.
No.
Why?
Because
lights come, revelations come. If you say it, you would sin. Because James 4:17 says, to him that knoweth to do good and then don't do it, then it's sin. Job thought because he had faith in God, God was in complete control. So whatever's going on, he's just waiting for God to do something. And if it does come, he needs to be thankful. Go back to Luke 16. Look, tell somebody, steps.
Yes.
Amen. Now, you know this story. Luke 16:19. There's a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs come and licked his sores. There's two things I want you to write down right here. Where did he want to get fed from? Crumbs from where? Psalms 23 says, our dad has a table set for us. You ought to never be satisfied to not eat at your father's table.
Amen.
And when that Syrophoenician woman in Mark 7, she went to Jesus, Pastor Scott mentioned it last night and talked, showed us some things about it even. And in John 5 about the pool of Bethesda. But that Syrophoenician woman, remember she had a daughter and she wanted her free, and she said some things, Jesus said some things. But then what did she say? He told us last night. Yeah, but Jesus even... the dogs eat the crumbs. What was she after? What did Jesus say to her when she asked for healing? It's not meat. Thank you, sir. To take the children's bread. I thought she wanted healing. That's why David wrote, he said, I was young, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or the covenant man having to beg for healing. Most people thought it was bread. Right? He wants to eat breadcrumbs that somebody else has already took a bite off of and it's fell out of his mouth. But your dad, your father, has a brand new loaf on the table in front of you. And all he needs you to do is sit down and say, I'm a king's kid. I got a right to be here at this table and eat you some. But this is the just shall live by faith. Not having faith in God only. Verse 21, the Lazarus, desiring to be fed and crumbs fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs come and licked his sores. It came to pass. Who died? Beggar. What happened to him? What was he? Carried by the angels where?
Abraham's bosom.
We know that ain't there no more, but it was there then because Jesus hadn't died and rose yet. Where did the beggar go?
Abraham's
bosom. So we got a covenant man that believe like Job. I came into the earth without any possession, and I'll leave the same way. He died sick, and he died broke. Because the angels of God escorted him to Abraham's bosom. He was a covenant man. And God don't want that for us. I said, God don't want that for us. Wherever we are in our faith walk, there can be steps.
Amen?
Amen? Yes. And we're going after them, right?
Yes.
All right, now, go with me, please. Numbers, real quick. Numbers 13:1. Well, I'll just tell you. And God said, I give you Canaan's land. Okay? That was Numbers 13:1 and 2. God said, I give you Canaan's land. If you would, go to Deuteronomy. Well, you know it. Deuteronomy 11, 8 through 11. Look at verse 24. Deuteronomy 8 through 11, he says, now go and possess the land, whether you go to possess it, for I have given it unto you. It is not like the land that you come out of, where you had to water it with your foot. It was laborious, there was toiling, but now there's coming a blessing, and it'll drink water of the rains of heaven. It's not like the land you come out of. How many know, when you come into the family of God, there's something that comes on you to produce wealth.
Amen.
Glory to God. But then verse 24, it's interesting here. In verse 24, what does he say? Deuteronomy 11, 24. Everywhere the place of the soles of your feet shall
tread
shall be yours. I thought he already gave them the land. How come he's telling them every place you walk? You got to go get it.
Yep.
The just shall live by faith.
Yeah.
Go to Joshua chapter 18, please. Can we go to three more? We're hurrying. Joshua 18, please. Look at verse 2 and 3. The NLT.
Yes.
But there remained how many tribes?
Seven.
Who what? I'm not sure. I've done my best. Pastor Scott might be able to help me on it, or Pastor Dan. But I believe it's somewhere between 10, 15 years. How many tribes went into Canaan's land?
12.
Because there was a member from every tribe when they were at Kadesh Barnea and went in. This is somewhere around 10 to 15 years later. They are living in the church. They are living in Canaan's land. And there are how many tribes?
Seven.
Who still have not possessed what God gave them. Seven. Verse 3. Then Joshua asked him, said, I know when God's timing is perfect, so as soon as he gets to it, we're going to have us a party and get down. What did he say? Nuh-uh. Did he? What he's trying to get folk to see, Joshua, Job thought, Lord gives, Lord takes away. But Job had no revelation. So therefore, he never sinned. He thought God was in complete control, just like my pastor friend. He told me now, he said, I can't teach that I used to. He said, now I'd sin. Because he said, I've studied and I've looked. And he said, I know speaking in tongues ain't of the devil. You can ask my wife. I used to think, because mom died sick and I did all the crazy stuff I did. And from all those years, 8 years of my life, I don't know where I was, what I did. But I thought that God could have healed mom, but wouldn't. And when people would try to get me to go back to church, I'd say, to hell with God and to hell with you. I'd say it right out loud. How many know I would never say that about my father now?
Amen.
I know now he was not the killer.
Right.
It was the other one.
Amen.
The devil.
Yep.
I'd never say that about my father now, but that's how I felt then. So in that, people say, well, you know he loves you. I said, no, he don't. And I would say all kinds of crazy stuff. At that point in time, I was so confused, I never sinned. But I would never talk about my father that way now. Because now I got light from the Word by the help of the Holy Ghost. He's a good father.
Amen.
So, verse 2 again. And then verse 3. Joshua said, there's how many tribes?
Seven.
Joshua asked him. What did Joshua ask him, please? Now, I know there's measures of faith. I know these things. But how many know? When you don't know for sure if it's time. Now, how many know? I'm not talking about where you know where your measure is and God says, I need you to take this step. Well, how many know? Don't jump way over there. Just take that step.
Right.
Whatever God's told you to do, do that. Because the Holy Ghost will never lead you beyond your measure.
Right.
Yes. Are you with me?
Yes.
Just know he told you to do that.
Yes.
But in the area like of healing or things like are getting free. How many know your pastors, they'll hook up with you. Are you with me? Yes. They'll help you. But the thing of it is don't come thinking, I really need to get healed. And then if it doesn't just manifest completely, don't leave here and the devil tell you, well, in God's time. No, the time was when Jesus let him beat the tar out of him. Yes. Amen. That day, from that day forward, he didn't belong to us. Glory to God. Don't put it off for another year or two. How many know? Don't wait to take your position. Take it now. Have faith in God. Get in the family. But then begin to learn. The just shall live by faith. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. Now, last two, please. Go to Exodus chapter 23. Pastor Scott talked about this last night also. Exodus chapter 23, please. In this, like what Pastor Dan had on his heart for these types of meetings, you know, going after steps, all the projects y'all are doing. Brand new building, paid for. Brand new building, paid for.
Paid for.
You know why we get so excited about getting the building paid for and the building redone? Get your stuff paid for and redone.
Yeah.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. 29, Exodus 23, 29. God says, I'll not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become what? God told me and my wife, he said, until you can start taking care, make sure the grass is mowed. Make sure it's painted. Make sure it looks good. He said, I won't give you no more until you got the faith to maintain what I give you. That's why in 1 Corinthians 7 it says, as soon as your body is for the Lord, then the Lord will be for your body.
Amen.
So he says, lest the land become desolate. Is God concerned about dirt?
No.
Yeah, he is. He said, briars will grow up. Oh, and the message. See, that's what he told me. I said, you're concerned about thorns? Verse 28, he said, I will make your borders stretch from the Red Sea to the Mediterranean Sea, from the wilderness to the Euphrates River. I'm turning everyone living in that land over to you. Go ahead and drive them out. I don't have time to preach about this, but if you've ever studied in Numbers, when he told them to go search it, I believe there's 8 different groups of people. And he said, every one of them's living in your stuff. They've got your stuff. And he said, I want you to go get them out and take it. Not wrongly.
Amen.
Lawfully. Rightfully. But you ought to go get it.
Amen.
He said, I won't get rid of them all at once, lest what?
The land grow up in weeds.
And the wild animals take over. For a long time, I missed that. He said, the world is not the same as the earth. The earth is mine.
Yes.
And he said, I like for stuff to look nice.
Amen.
If you got an old car and you want another one,
keep it clean.
Wash it.
Yep.
Amen.
Keep the trash out of it where people can at least get in it.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen. If you got an old house, it ain't much, but it's yours.
Yep.
Take care of it.
Right.
You want a new one?
Mm-hmm.
Take care of one you got.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
See what begins to happen. A lot of times when people begin to go from this one to that one, they forget about this one. But most of the time, the reason this one needs to be real nice, it's probably worth more as a seed as it is as a sale. So you ought to give good stuff, because if you sow it, you get to reap it.
Amen.
So if you sell junk, or sow junk, you reap junk.
Yeah.
Are you with me? If you sow something that's got to be worked on, that's what you're going to get.
Right.
Amen. All right, now, so he said, I won't get rid of them all at once, lest the land grow up in weeds and wild animals take over. Little by little, I'll get them out of there while you have a chance to get your crops going. and the land your own. King James says, until you can start increasing. In this, in the steps, in the mind's eye, possessing your soul, get the image that God has for you. There's plans God has directly for you. Get those plans by the Spirit of God. And when you get those plans like Pastor Dan did, how many know this is a plan from God?
Amen.
Pastor Dan's heard from heaven. How many know we're going to finish this thing?
Amen.
People say, well, how long is it going to take? As long as it takes.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Well, how much money is it going to take? As much as it takes. Well, where are we going to get the money?
Coming in.
Are you with me?
Yes.
The thing I want you to see is, if you say, okay, we need $1,000,002, that'll mess with folk. But if he says, if you'll just take a step, and your step is five, and you do that,
right.
How many know everybody can be involved?
Amen.
And this thing will get done. And it will get done. And it is getting done. And it'll be paid for when we get done. See y'all selves sitting in here in a brand new sanctuary. Or sanctuary, however you say it. Amen. In a brand new one. Smelling brand new carpet. Ah, it smells good. Amen.
Are you going to have carpet?
Yeah.
Maybe. Okay. Whatever you got. Or linoleum. Not linoleum, but the other the good stuff. And brand new paint, and then the ACs will kick on, and it'll be cool. Then in the winter, that heater will kick on, it'll be warm, and you'll be like, Lord, you're so good to us.
Yes.
Brand new building, right here, look at us. We got a good, good Father.
Amen.
Glory to God, hallelujah. See y'all sitting in there. Go by the plans. See a pew, say, I think I'm going to sit right there one service. See your little stick self, you know, stick person in that painting. Amen. See yourself in there healed.
Yeah.
See yourself in there prosperous.
Yeah.
See yourself in there victorious.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we love and thank you and praise you tonight. We thank you, Lord God, you are a good, good Father. And you are good to us. You are a good, 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 good Father. And Lord, we thank you. Revealing these things to us. Thank you for speaking to these men and women. You know, like to Pastor Dan, Pastor Sandy. And then in the households, steps, plans. We get your plan, then you'll reveal the steps. And the steps will be right because they'll be with purpose. Because we got God's plan. We're not concerned about what's going to happen in 2 years. We got steps right now. And we're going to take them. And then in Psalms it talks about once we begin to do the steps of a righteous man, you will enlarge our steps. And we thank you we'll be able to cover more ground in one step. So we thank you for it and we give you glory and we give you honor and give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, because we're eating the good of the land. Not to heap it all upon ourselves, but to do projects like this. And we thank you for it. Magnify you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. If you'll permit me just a moment or two, I want to recall your attention to just where Pastor Ricky was there, Exodus 23, 29 and 30 there. Especially the part where it said little by little. Little by little. One of the reasons that is so passionately on my heart, steps of faith and things in our church where I've experienced so much growth and wonderful blessings of God, and I desire that for other people as well. We try to live our lives in a kind of a transparent way. My wife says I tell people too much of our personal business, and it's partly because I just want to create that window that you can see into our lives so you can do what we're doing. Not patting myself on the back, trying to share. So many things are little by little. Wherever we are today, we got there a step at a time. Someone who might meet me today, oh, well, God's just blessed you, and I wish he would do for me what he's done for you. He has, but it's been a process. And an illustration occurred to me. One of the things that I like to do is go into Colorado and climb the high mountains, the 14ers. Often those climbs are from wherever you start to the top. You're usually talking 2,000-something to 3,000-something vertical feet. And to give you a perspective on that, Sears Tower, or as it used to be called Sears Tower, whatever it is now, if you might be familiar, even see it from a distance, that tall building, that's 1,400 feet, a little over 1,400 feet. And so we're talking about two of those buildings on top of one another. That's what it is to climb a 14er. It would be one thing here at our elevation, but in high elevation, oh, it is a whole another ball game. And so I one time calculated exactly how many it is. I'm a carpenter, so 7 and a quarter inches is an ideal step. So you're talking something nearing 3,000 steps up, just to put in perspective what that's like. So I have found myself a number of times making a climb, and if there's other people on the mountain, somebody maybe younger than I, somebody maybe in a little more fit condition, or a local that is acclimated to altitude more than me, blowing in from Illinois, you know, I see them just go right on up. And I've gone, oh, wish I was where they are. Right? You're halfway and you could, somebody's on the top already. I remember one of the climbs, we're starting out going in our hiking boots and heavy clothes and got jackets and so on. And here comes this young, probably teenage girl in shorts and a t-shirt and running shoes and brrr. And I'm not halfway up and here she's coming down brrr, like that. You know, she's been to the top and down already, you know. So I'm thinking, why can't I do that? Why not me? But do you know, she had to take every step I'm going to have to take also. She didn't get there by just being installed at the top. No one gets there by being installed at the top. And of course, I've been the one at the top, and then look at some poor soul just starting on their way up too. My point is it requires steps, lots of them, to get to that top. And you can envy somebody at the top, or you can envy somebody who's made it to a particular place, but envying them doesn't do any good. You're going to have to take those steps. Every step they took, you're going to have to take too. So some of these things, you know, we've opened our lives and we're demonstrating things in our church and personally to just show how the goodness of God has taken us from low to high. And we're still going. I'm just trying to encourage you, you know, if you'll keep taking the steps. I remember one where I soloed all by myself, late in October, very cold climb, and I quit 1,000 times. I thought, this is nuts. I'm going to fall, hurt myself somewhere. Nobody's going to know where I am, and there I'll die. So there was about an 800-foot stretch that was just up like this, scrambling the rocks, and I quit so many times, and I'd sit on a rock. Whew. But in a moment or two, I'd catch my breath and go, well, maybe I could go a little further, and I'd start up again. And then I'd say, it's nuts. It's too hard. And I'd sit down, catch my breath, and I thought, well, maybe I'll go a little higher before I quit. And I did a series of quit after quit after quit all the way to the top. And it was the most glorious day I've ever had on a mountaintop. It was being late fall, a high-pressure system. I could see untold numbers of miles. The greatest view I've ever been rewarded with. All there by myself, me and God. I knew the mountain ranges well enough to know that I could see all the way to the north to Mount Sopris. I could see the Sangre de Cristos all the way to the south. I could see the San Juans in the southwest all the way out to their extremity. And I could see the flatlands beyond. I was seeing Wyoming from central Colorado. And the Sangre de Cristos reach into New Mexico. I could see that from one place, the greatest reward I ever had in mountain climbing. And I quit 1,000 times, but I kept getting back up. Well, I'll go a little further, take the next step, take the next step. And the point that, with the help of these men teaching, the point that I just want everybody to receive is your miracle is not just one overnight thing. It's a believe God and just take the next step, whatever he instructs you to do. Well, I don't have the money to do such and such. Well, can you just do the next thing? Yeah. Oh, we don't have the money for it. Well, did you make the phone call and find out what it costs? Do you know what color you'd want if you got one? Have you picked out the options already? Do you know what you need to do at home to get ready for it? There's always steps, taking those steps. And we have seen great things happen in our church, in our lives, and I'm trying to share that with everybody. Take steps. Wherever you are, take steps. You can take a step tonight toward whatever God has for you, toward whatever God has promised you, toward whatever it is that He's put a desire in your heart to receive. There's reasons that you have desires in your heart, and God wants to accomplish that in your life, and it will be a miracle, but it'll be a series of steps. Take those steps. Take those steps. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we just bless you and thank you for your instruction tonight. We thank you for the revelation of your word. And Father, we see some of it. There's more to be seen, more revelation to come. And we just thank you for leading us. You and your word said you always lead us in triumph. So you're leading us to victory. If you're leading, it's to victory. And if we're going to get a victory, we're going to follow your leading. So Father, we thank you that these things are working in us tonight and going forward from here. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.